Well, good evening. And praise God again for this opportunity to open up His Word tonight. This evening, we're continuing in our Advent Thursday series on birth announcements. First to Zacharias, then to Mary, and now tonight, as Peter said, to Joseph. To Joseph, the birth announcement of Christ to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1. In chapter 2. But before we open God's Word, I want everyone to close God's Word for just a moment. Close God's Word, Bibles closed. Close your Bibles for a second. We're going to do this sword drill style for you Sunday school veterans. We're going to do this sword drill style. Are you ready? Ah, Bible's up. I didn't even know that. I was acting on the honor system. Ready? There is a story in the Old Testament that I want you to find. Story in the Old Testament that I want you to find about a man whom God awakens from a deep sleep. Wait for it. So that the man might take a wife in marriage. Old Testament. Go. When you find it, raise your hands. Book and verse. Old Testament about a man who God awakens from a deep sleep so that the man might take a wife in marriage.
Is it cheating?
Yes, that is cheating. Craig, I think I saw your hand up first. Brothers and sisters, we have a correct answer. Can you read it for us?
Sure.
Did everybody hear that? Genesis chapter 2, starting at verse 21.
And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to man.
Keep going. Thank you. And now, brothers and sisters, close your Bibles again. This is the bonus round. Ready? Can anyone else find me another story? Craig's exempt. Another story in the New Testament this time about another man whom God wakes from a deep sleep so that the man might take a wife in marriage. From the New Testament this time, go. Book, chapter, verse. About another man who God wakes from a deep sleep so that the man might take a wife in marriage.
Matthew.
Chapter and verse. Keep going.
For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.
Thank you. Correct answer. Did I arouse everyone from a deep sleep now? You're aroused from a deep sleep. Everyone awake? I'll take that as a yes, because tonight I want everyone to pay close attention. I want you to listen closely to this short devotion, because we've got a very familiar story. We've got a very familiar story that we're going to approach in a very unfamiliar way. A very familiar story, unfamiliar approach. So get your notepads ready tonight, because for Matthew, the story of Joseph sets the context for his entire gospel. Write this down. Matthew uses Joseph's story to orient the Jewish reader at the time, and now to all readers for all time, to who Jesus is. Let me just say that one more time. This is the main point of tonight's message. For Matthew, Joseph points the Jewish reader at the time, and now all readers for all time, including us, to who Jesus really is. Who is Jesus? We'll get to that. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the Messiah, which is the very reason Matthew is writing this gospel, to tell his readers, to tell you tonight, that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is Messiah. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe that tonight?
Yes.
That Jesus is the beginning and the end, the great I am, the Alpha and the Omega, that Jesus is the one who creates us and sustains us as the bread of life, that Jesus is our King and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that Jesus is Messiah. Do you believe that tonight? For Matthew, Joseph orients the first century Jewish reader, and now all readers for all time, to who Jesus is, to his eternal presence. First, this is our outline for tonight. To his eternal presence, first, to his sustaining grace, second, to his kingship in our lives, third, is Jesus your King tonight? Is Jesus your King? Is Jesus your King tonight? Well, tonight, and this is the unfamiliar approach part of this devotion, I want us to take a look at the story of Joseph through an Old Testament lens, and Dad was getting there, an Old Testament lens, as if you were a first century Jewish reader encountering Jesus for the first time, starting with Christ's eternal presence. Starting with Christ's eternal presence, such that when we're reading about God waking Joseph, as Mary did for us, from a deep sleep, our minds might immediately go back all the way to the beginning. All the way back to Adam. All the way back to the creation story. Are you all the way back there with me now? Yes? No? Paul?
Yes.
Yes. Well, if it helps, let's go all the way back to the very beginning of the Gospel of Matthew. Chapter 1, the Gospel of Matthew, because there's one essential word at the beginning of Matthew's Gospel that I think changes the way you read the entire Gospel and maybe the entire New Testament. And the word in verse 1, look at it with me tonight. The word in verse 1 is genealogy. Do you see that word? Genealogy. Verse 1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, genealogy, which, did you know, is the very same word in the Greek for Genesis, the first book of the Bible. So that's the first clue as to how the gospel writer Matthew wants you to read his gospel, not merely as an account of Jesus' life. Listen to this closely. Not merely as an account of Jesus' life, but as the beginning of a new creation. The beginning of a new creation, a new Israel, a rebirth in which God has stepped into history outside the cycle of sin, not where man is taken out of man, but where God is with us, Emmanuel, by the Holy Spirit. In the book of Genesis, this is very, very important. In the book of Genesis, some form of the word genealogy is used maybe 10 or 11 times. Genealogy of Adam, genealogy of Noah, genealogy of Shem, and so on, and so on, and so on. After which, each time the descendants are listed. I'm getting someplace. The descendants are listed. So that when Matthew starts chapter 1 with the genealogy of Jesus, it's not merely a birth announcement. It's not merely a birth announcement. Listen to this. It's a new beginning. A new Genesis. We need to soak on that one for a while. A new Genesis. And the genealogy here is not from Adam to Noah as it is in Genesis 5, nor is it from God to Jesus as it is in Luke's genealogy in Luke chapter 3. But it is from Jesus to Jesus in Matthew. Starting with Jesus in verse 1, look at it again. Before Abraham and David. Then ending with Jesus in verse 16. Take a look at verse 16. Ending with Jesus. Starting with Jesus in verse 1. Then ending with Jesus in verse 16. The beginning and the end. The Alpha and the Omega. Jesus. Before Abraham was, I am. Are you tracking with me? Before Abraham was, I am. And so God arouses the fallen world from the deep sleep of sin as he arouses Joseph as the new Adam, as a type of Adam for Matthew to take his wife, Mary, to permit God's plan from the beginning to be revealed in Christ's birth. Not taken out of man, but by the Holy Spirit, creation redeemed. Is everyone still with me? Or does God need to arouse someone from a deep sleep now? Say amen if I can move on. Amen. So first, Matthew presents a picture of Joseph, one that would be very familiar to his Jewish readers in the first century as a type of Adam. As a type of Adam. Second, Matthew shows us Joseph as a new Joseph. Also from the book of Genesis. Joseph as a new Joseph. As a new Joseph the dreamer, who back in Genesis 37, God sends to Egypt to store grain to sustain the children of God. I'm seeing some light bulbs above your heads. Stay with me just a little bit longer, because God comes to our Joseph here in Matthew chapter 2, next chapter over, in a dream, of course, to direct him to Egypt. To direct him to Egypt for what purpose? What purpose? This is like the double triple bonus round now. To keep Jesus from King Herod. To preserve and protect, to sustain the very bread of life in time of spiritual famine. Our creator and sustainer, Jesus Christ, the bread of life, preserved and protected by New Testament Joseph, just as Old Testament Joseph preserved grain to sustain Israel and the children of God in time of famine. I'm seeing lots of light bulbs now. Lots of light bulbs. Who can tell me how many times God comes to Joseph in a dream in Matthew chapter 1 and 2? Jerry told us this 2 weeks ago, so you should know this. How many times did God come to Joseph in a dream in chapters 1 and 2? Did I hear a four? Four times. Thank you very much. Four times, chapter 1 and verse 20. Write these verses down. This is when God comes to Joseph, New Testament Joseph, in a dream. Chapter 1 and verse 20. Chapter 2 and verse 13. Chapter 2 and verse 19. Then finally, chapter 2 and verse 22. Four times God comes to Joseph in a dream. So many times you can't possibly miss the parallel with Joseph the dreamer, the youngest of 12 brothers. But if you do miss it, listen to this very closely. If you do miss it, go back and look who else is in Matthew's genealogy of Jesus. Look at verse number 2. Chapter 1, verse number 2, Matthew includes Joseph in his genealogy as one of the brothers and son of Jacob. Verse 2, Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. And by the way, this is a freebie for coffee hour on Sunday. This is a freebie. Look who else is a son of Jacob. Take a look at verse 16 of Matthew's genealogy. Look who else is a son of Jacob. And Jacob begot Joseph, the son of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So we've talked about two important differences tonight between Luke's genealogy in Luke chapter 3 and Matthew's genealogy tonight. And I want to give you one more. Just to recap, first, Matthew starts and ends with Jesus. We talked about that earlier. Second, Matthew includes the father-son pair of Jacob and Joseph twice. Third, and finally, here's the final one tonight. And Jerry talked about this. Matthew clearly follows the royal lineage in his genealogy, starting with Abraham, then to David, then to Solomon. Not David to Nathan, as Luke does in his genealogy in Luke 3. Not to Nathan. This is very important. But to Solomon. Royalty. Pointing us to Jesus' royal lineage. This is so important for Matthew. So we have Joseph as Adam. Just to recap again, Joseph as a new Joseph, second, and then finally, Matthew shows us Joseph as a king. Joseph as a king. Where'd you get that from? Joseph as a king. We'll look back at Matthew chapter 1 and verse 9. We're still in the genealogy. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 9. Where one of the kings in the royal line, buried deep in Matthew's genealogy here, is King Ahaz. Verse 9, Uzziah begot Jotham, Jotham begot Ahaz, and Ahaz begot Hezekiah. Now King Ahaz, for you Old Testament students, was one of the most wicked kings in the royal line. So wicked. King Ahaz was so wicked that back in Isaiah chapter 7, when the prophet Isaiah directs him to ask the Lord for a sign, King Ahaz wants no part of it. Such that the prophet Isaiah responds to King Ahaz, if you won't ask the Lord for a sign yourself, King Ahaz, Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 7, 14, which is the very sign that Joseph, back in chapter 1, our Joseph, New Testament Joseph, back in chapter 1, King Joseph, if you will, accepts with obedience and believes in faith. Do you see the royal picture? Do you see the royal picture? Did you know this? That in Matthew's account, Joseph is called Son of David. Did you know that? Joseph is called Son of David, small s. Matthew 1 and verse 20, listen to how the angel addresses Joseph. Listen to it carefully. But while Joseph thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Son of David, the most royal of terms. So for Matthew, Joseph is heir to the throne, a king, small k, in the line of Abraham, David, Solomon, King Solomon, such that when the Gentile magi come to Joseph's home in Nazareth in Matthew chapter 2, the next chapter over, you might immediately think back to the Gentile Queen of Sheba visiting King Solomon's palace in 1 Kings chapter 10, surrounded by all the world's splendor. But the Magi, instead of worshiping a wicked king like Herod on their way, who's a lot like King Ahaz, by the way, or worshiping Joseph, son of David, the Magi fall at the precious feet of the King of all kings, the King of all kings, Christ Jesus, the Son of David, the King of the Jews, the King of all kings, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, which brings us right back to the one question that the gospel writer Matthew demands an answer to above all else in his gospel. Brothers and sisters, one question before I take my seat. Is Christ your king? Is he the king of your life? Have you fallen at his feet this Christmas? Are you worshiping him as your creator, as your sustainer, as your king? He is Christ Emmanuel, God with us, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will save people from their sins. Let me open up our time of prayer. Heavenly Father, if there's anyone here tonight or any of our friends or family or loved ones who do not know Jesus as King, I pray that all might receive him as Joseph shows us, as Creator, as Sustainer, as King. So tonight, let the earth receive her King. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.